hand over the mic to the president of the Sabha, Dr. V. Shankar.
Govinda Deshikam Upasya Siraya Bhaktyam Tasmin Sthide Nijamahimni Videha Muktyam Advaitya Bhashyam Upakalpa Diso Vijityam Kanchi Pure Sitam Avapasa Shankaraya Riti Smriti Purananam Alayam Karunalayam Namami Bhagavat Pata Shankaram Loka Shankaram Apara Karuna Sindum Jnanatam Shantarupinam Sri Chandrasekara Gurum Pranamami Mudamyaham Sadashiva Samarambam, Shankaracharya Madhyamam, Asmatacharya Paryantam, Vande Guru Paramparam. Mala Sudam Kumba Vibodha Mudra, Vidya Virajata Karavari Jatam, Apara Karunya Sudam Burashim, Sri Sharadamba Pranatosmi Nityam. Seeking the benediction of Jagannatha Sharada Parameshwari, that repository of all that is culture, knowledge, tradition, wisdom, art, learning and fine art, I bow to her as I commence my address today. It gives me great pleasure to welcome you all to this pleasant and solemn function organized this evening, the second day of the four-day festival to commemorate the centenary of the Mahavidushi of our living times, Bharatratna Dr. M. S. Subbalakshmi. This four-day festival is the commencement of the year-long festival to celebrate the centenary of the Nightingale of India. Like the Trinity of Music, our Sabha is also a sangamam of three institutions merged and fused into one, as if to signify the ever-youthfulness of this institution, the founders conjured the name Shanmukha, which is alluring beauty. From the 22nd of August 1963, when the stage was first decorated by the Mahavidwan Arikudi Ramanujayengar, and later this auditorium was rechristened after the Mahaswami of Kanchi, Pooja Sri Chandrasekharendra Saraswati Swamiji, today's program is the 15,655th program. And as far as the members of this institution are concerned, it is 1,946th program, including today's program. Over the years, the institution has presented musicians of all genre, all class, from all over the world, to the discerning audience of this great city. It has revered and welcomed with devotion saints and savants from all over the country. It has honored men and women with extraordinary accomplishments. But more than anything else, to the thousands of its members, it has given them food for the mind and the soul. It has given shantam, saukhyam, sukham and mangalam. Shanmukam bhaje shanmukam, said Swami Dayananda Saraswati in Raga Shanmugapriya. I think I will take it for the day and say Shanmukhanandam bhaje shanmukhanandam. Indian classical music has a plenitude value. It has peace which passeth understanding. Over the years, Indian classical music has represented and chronicled the Hindu way of life. The seers of our times and of the distant yore have described the absolute as Satyam, Shivam and Sundaram. The sages are able to perceive the beauty of the creation as it is by the naked eye. An artist's vision is less expansive. He is able to appreciate the beauty only through patterns and sounds that come across the atmosphere. It is the joy that emanates from singing as he appreciates, deciphers and decodes these patterns. It's called as Brahmananda Sodaram. That is the joy that an artist enjoys as he gets the patterns done. But to the ordinary person, these are not easily visible. Over the years, as Arunagirinathar beautifully described it, the Nadam, the Mahanadam, sits on that Bindu, the point, in Mahamaunam, silent. Nada Binduka Lathi Namo Namo, he said. In later years, Amma popularized even that Kriti. It is only when you realize the ultimate, can you appreciate the beauty of all that is around you. Till then, fine art is the medium through which you will be able to decipher, appreciate, adore, and worship the majesty of the creation of the great Lord. And that is the greatest role that fine arts plays in a person's life. Indian classical music has been distinguished from the music all over the world, including the Western classicals, by the element of bhakti, the devotion that is soaked into it. Yat kavyena yuktam, tat gitena prasadayet, said Bharatamuni. What cannot be expressed in words can only be said through music. It is this devotion that marks the difference with any other form of music anywhere else in the world. It is this bhakti, it is this devotion into which that music was soaked and delivered and then given, that was the life journey of M.S. Subbalakshmi. When she was singing, she was absorbed in music, blissfully unaware of the world around her, like the seer whom I said, was never influenced by what's around him. She sat like an icon. Marathai marathadu mamadayanai, marathil marayindadu mamadayanai, said Tirumular in Tirumantram. And that state of ecstasy that Subbalakshmi went into when she got into music. In Kambaramayanam, Kamban almost gave vent to his exasperation, unable to find a bankruptcy of superlatives to describe the beauty of Rama. If ever you were to ever find the same predicament for a writer in describing any musician of his times, that musician can only be Subbalakshmi. That is the greatness of this lady. It was a gift of God that she placed at the service of the nation, said Sarvepalli Radhakrishnan. Mere voice does not give vidvat. To soak it in bhakti and associate it with the Baba of Sahitya and Sangeeta, and then to put in efforts to take it to a higher level of intellectual platform and then render it, that will make the difference. And that is why she stood out from the rest of the crowd, said T.T. Krishnamachari, the former finance minister of this country. It is that greatness of this lady that we are celebrating over the 4 days. Today on the second day, the day is devoted to celebrate the golden jubilee of Maitri Majat. Even though it was rendered on the 23rd of October 1966, and therefore the commencement of the golden jubilee will start in the month of October, since we had decided to have the centenary of Subbalakshmi coinciding with her birth anniversary, we thought it appropriate and fair that we also roll into the programs in advance the golden jubilee of Maitri Majat. Maitri Bhajata is just not a benediction. It brings out the Catholicity of that great Mahaswami and that Mahavidushi, Subbalakshmi. It was written at a time when the world was driven by strifes, mental anguish, and warfare all across. And when the sage composed this poem, he generously drew from the Brihadaranya Upanishad, saying that the entire structure of this octave, which is an 8-line in simple Sanskrit that he had described, drew essentially from that Upanishad. And the cardinal principles propounded by that Upanishad were basically, as they sang, as she sang, as these people danced, were dhamyata, dattam, and dayatvam. First is the restraint, second is charity or giving, and the third is compassion and care. These are the hallmarks of a nation which is at peace with itself, of people who are at peace with themselves, and therefore they will be at peace with the rest of the world. When the first invitation came to Subbalakshmi in the year 1965 that she should sing in the United Nations on the inaugural day, the day prior to the commencement of the General Assembly's session, that being the year 1965 with the Indo-Pak War being at its peak and world also suffering from various tensions and strifes, Subbalakshmi decided that she will not take the travel. But then it gave a cue to Subbalakshmi that what is it that we will offer whenever I am invited again. And in the structure of what she wanted to offer when she goes to the world platform, it was her husband who suggested that we should conclude with a prayer for universal harmony, and that thus they reached the Mahaswami of Kanchi, and what came out was Maitreem Bhajate. At the time of their marriage, both Subbalakshmi and Sadashivam did not know the sage of Kanchi. And for a fairly long period of almost 14 years, they had no experience of having met the sage of Kanchi. It was a friend of Sadashivam who said that, "I will take you to the sage of Kanchi." Subbalakshmi was suffering from a bout of typhoid, from which she had not recovered for a very long time. It was equally difficult for Sadashivam to experience that his daughter's alliance was not getting easily concluded. His ups and downs with various people matching the horoscopes were not successful. So in that state of mind, he said, "Okay, I will come wherever you are taking." And thus he was taken to the sage of Kanchi. The benediction and the grace that the sage gave to him, like he gives to everyone and says Narayana, that was given to Sadashivam as well. Call it coincidence, call it true blessings, call it his benediction. The prayer was answered. And once the prayer was answered, the couple became lifelong bhaktas of the Kamakoti Peetam. Despite the fact that they were bhaktas of the Kamakoti Peetam, this marriage did not dwell well with the sage of Kanchi. It took years of unremitting devotion, total surrender at the feet of the sage of Kanchi, unwavering acceptance of the sage himself, and the great persuasive skills of Sadashivam that ultimately melted the sage. And then he accepted them as the couple, and he gave the highest Vedic tribute to that lady when he said, "Whatever she is like the Vrindavan Tulasi." And such comments coming from the sage of Kanchi, the highest tribute that could ever be given to any person, that he gave to her. In the year 1966, the United Nations again renewed their invitation to Subbalakshmi, and then it was decided that they shall accept that invitation and go to the United Nations. And Sadashivam had drawn up an extensive program of at least 15 concerts spread over 7 weeks in the United Nations, of which one would be in the General Assembly the day before the Assembly convenes. A repertoire of 60 songs were selected, which included bhajans, various famous kritis. It also included Chakravarti Rajagopalachari's composition in English, which was print metered by the then director of Western Classicals in AIR Chennai, Mr. Handel, and it was set to music by him, which was also included in that composition. And it was decided that the concert will end with Maitreem Bhajate. Maitreem Bhajate was set to music in this city of ours. I am not able to see Lakshmi Kannan today. It was in her house. The notations were set. The meter was finalized. And Vasant Desai, the music director of repute of this city, had set it to music. As said yesterday by Srinivasan, son of Radha Vishwanathan, that 501 rupees of professional fees that was given to Vasant Desai, he framed it and kept it to himself rather than encash it, saying that it is the greatest blessings I have received, an opportunity that I have got to be part of this journey. I said yesterday that Subbalakshmi and miracles are twin sisters. Yet another miracle happened on this day. Contrary to the general belief that Maitreem Bhajate was sung in the UN General Assembly for the first time, it's not true. 2 days before, on the 21st of October 1966, in the Carnegie Hall, Subbalakshmi was introduced as the first lady of Carnatic music. And the first lady of Carnatic music could not resist offering Maitri Bhajate on the day itself in Carnegie Hall. And therefore it was given on the 21st of October 1966 and repeated again in the General Assembly. On the day, the appointed day, Subbalakshmi had a running temperature. The throat was completely choked. The larynx was blocked. Voice would not emanate and come out, leave alone the question of singing. The Indian diplomatic mission was dizzy. They had virtually come to the conclusion that they will have to cancel the program. And that would have caused a great embarrassment to the diplomatic officials of India represented in the UN. She knew nothing else except to slip into silence and take out that photograph of the sage of Kanchi that she carries wherever she goes and which you see when she does the concert. She prayed before him, and as luck would have it, at the nick of time, I think the temperature was down, she was able to open her mouth and sing. These are not my words. These are the words of Sharada Prasad, the press advisor to the Prime Minister of India, and Subbalakshmi herself. As the lady bedecked in the beautiful Kanjivaram sari that you saw there, and with the full jasmine you saw at her back, and the dazzling, brilliant diamonds, that is the hallmark of that lady when she came in, the entire auditorium erupted into joy. And she was the only person who received a standing ovation even before she offered what she knew. For full 3 minutes, there was so much of applause that Amma wondered whether the concert was over. In one of her statements, she said, and the same thing happened when she concluded with that Maitri Bhajate. Yutand, the Secretary General at that point of time, described it as music extraordinary. The New York Times critic, there is a comment about what he gave there, but he made a still sharper comment. In fact, that fellow has a penchant for criticism of everything that was offered to him. Very hard nut to crack. But he described Subbalakshmi as musician extraordinary, and that whatever he had heard that day will cherish in his memory for long, long time to come. As I said, even though the sage had developed Maitri Bhajate on the foundation of Brihadaranya Upanishad, I think it was on a larger canvas that this country gave unto the world several millennia before. The Kithopanishad says, Yastis sarvani bhutani atmanneva anupushati sarvabhuteshu cha atmanam tatto na vikupasti. This is the country that gave to the world the basic concept of non-hatredness. And the Upanishad says, the same Lord resides in you and He resides in me. And therefore, when I look at you, I should look at you as myself, and you look at me as yourself. And when that is the state of equanimity that will come, where is the question of hatred? And when there is no hatred, there will be peace all across the globe. Adi Shankara expanded it further after his experience of Chandala on the banks of River Ganges. And then he brought out the oneness of creation. The Upanishads have told the world several centuries before, Ekam Sat Vipra Bahudha Vadanti. The truth is always one. It can never have new wings unless we express it the way we want to, but the substratum is the same. But the mother of all these came from the Upanishads themselves, from the Vedic, this thing. When the world was given so many years before, much before the liberalization, the concept of this global village, shackling down of borders that we are talking about today on the commercial parlance, it was given by the Upanishads. I am Nijahapparo Vedi, Gananam, Laguchetasam, Udhara Charitanam Tu, Vasudeva Kutumpakam. So this concept of global village came from the Vedic times, when he said, this is mine, that is yours, is essentially a thought of the mean-minded. To the large-hearted, the entire universe is one family. It is this message of peace, this is message of understanding of human folk, the oneness of creation of the Lord, wherever you are born, wherever you are black, white or green, or whatever be your shade. This was brought out in this manifestation of the thought in Maitri Bhajate, which was given into the world on that day. on the day when it was being given, my friends, it was the Vijayadashmi day. A day which we always think as the victory of truth over evil. And that day, in such an environment, peace was given to the world in the form of this composition. We have, today as we celebrate the centenary of M.S. Subbulakshmi, someone who was very, very dear to her, someone who was almost merged into her, because on the platform when the concert takes place, Subbulakshmi had no difference. She and her accompanying artists were all together as one. There is no separate pakkavadhyaman here and pin part behind. All of them together used to do. And in that tradition comes Dr. T.K. Murthy. For 55 long years he had accompanied her. To imagine 55 years of accompanying a single artist. And that is the greatness of this person. At the age of 92 that he is today, even today he can give you a concert. That is the strength that he has. But I will tell you a story which is not easily in the public domain. At the age of 8, when he was in the model public school, Maharaja Chaitra Thirunal had come to the school. And it was customary to offer to him performances by the students. Suddenly he jumped one boy and he started playing mridangam. He was enamored by the performance that the boy gave. And therefore a gold coin was given by Chaitra Thirunal to that young boy. And that young boy was T.K. Murthy. When the Maharaja asked him, "Who is your guru?" he could not answer. He asked him, "How did you learn?" He said, "Nothing." He said, "For the first time I am tapping." And the gold coin that the Maharaja gave, he was terribly, mortally afraid because he was under vocal music training from his father, Tanu Bhagavadar. So he decided to put this into the mustard box, thinking that nobody will know that this gold coin was given to him. But unfortunately for him, the next morning, his mother, when she started cooking, she opened that box and she was surprised to see a gold coin. And when he was confronted, the truth came out. And immediately his father realized that the core competence and passion is elsewhere and not in vocal. And then he said, "I will send him to Tanjavur Vaidyanatha Bhagavatar." Then started that long journey of 35 years under that great master of our times. He almost adopted him as his son. Why almost? He was his son. And I think if there were legal compliances could have been done, they would have done and adopted him as his son. But what was more interesting there was, he was not the only person who was getting trained under that great Bhagavadar. The Jambavan Palakkad Maniyyar also was training under him. And this name T.K. Murthy was given by Palakkad Maniyyar. Krishnamurthy, all names are there. There was another name that was given to him, and that name was given by Subbulakshmi, Sutu. That was the name that she gave to him. She adored him as her younger brother. That was the relationship that she had with him. On a particular day, I think there were 4 concerts that they played together in a week. And those were the days he was being given an honorarium of 400 rupees by Subbulakshmi per concert. So she took out a sheaf of currency notes and gave it to him. When he counted, he had 2000 rupees. And the due was only 1600 rupees. He gave 400 back. He said, "And the Bhagavane onoda rate yetuptan. Na naalna minnadithilende onaku 500 rupees eduthu." That was the magnanimity of that lady. Today such a person is being honored in the name of Subbulakshmi. I told you, wherever she is ensconced, yesterday she would have erupted into joy seeing Radha Vishwanathan being honored. Today I think she will have tears in her eyes seeing her younger brother being honored. Our beloved governor of Andhra Pradesh and Telangana, Sri E.S.L. Narasimhan, is a very dear friend of this institution. despite the commitments of that office, managing one single state is difficult. Managing two states and the two newly formed is a challenge for any governor. But he is equal to any task. But then to take time out from there and come only for a function, that too in far off Mumbai, but the magic of Subbalakshmi works on him, and therefore he acceded to a request without any hesitation. Last time when he came to us, he came for the valedictory function of the Diamond Jubilee of the Sabha. Those words of wisdom, that erudition, that scholarship that came out of him are still ringing in our ears. I think we haven't lost out on that asset. Even before we could lose out, he is again here today to give us some more words of wisdom on the greatness of this great country of ours. We are beholden to you, sir, for your gracious presence today. And more importantly, I had requested through my mama that please tell him to bring his wife along. And she has also acceded to a request. I am thankful to her for having come out and witnessed this function named after that great lady before us. May the Jaganmata Kamakoti Kamakshi shed her grace on the beloved governor, his wife, and of course our Dr. T.K. Murthy. Give them long life, contented life. Let us celebrate the century of Dr. T.K. Murthy in this very auditorium. And let me have all of you for the centenary with the grace and blessings of Subbalakshmi and of the great Mahaswami and all the gods and goddesses. I am sure we will have the fortune of celebrating the centenary of Dr. T.K. Murthy. May the Jaganmata shed her grace on all of us too, so that we can draw a leaf from the life of nobility of that great woman, Subbalakshmi, and make our own life sublime. Thank you and God bless.